Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
And it's time for Fast Track. Let's see, John, one side of the coin, a 50-game Major League Baseball season. On the other side of the coin, a 126-game Major League Baseball season. It appears to be this or that. Call it in the air.
I'll pray it's B, but I fear it's A. Tails.
Looks like it's A. Tails.
A, 50 games. I don't like that as a Dodger fan. Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. USC announced it will resume classes in person this fall with social distancing protocol and most classes available in person and online. President Carol Folt announced that in an email yesterday. The fall 2020 semester will also begin 1 week earlier, on August 17th, and end right before Thanksgiving. Is this the shoe that needed to drop to guarantee the return of college football? Now that they are letting students on campus, are you convinced we'll have Pac-12 college football in the fall?
Yeah, I mean, I am. I don't know if there will be fans there or not, but if students are back on campus, there's really no reason why the Trojans should not be playing, why the Bruins should not be playing. I think Larry Scott has indicated some in the last couple of weeks that he anticipates there's going to be a season. I think there is going to be a season.
Let me ask you a weird question. Do you think the protests, the fact that thousands, perhaps millions of Americans went to the streets and joined together, in a strange way facilitated some of these returns from the coronavirus? In other ways, you know, like, do you think somebody like USC saw this on TV and said, okay, I think our students will be more receptive to coming back? Or am I totally connecting dots that aren't there?
You know, I think you're connecting dots that aren't there. Although, you know, I think the whole country at this point is just a gigantic lab experiment. You know, you've got
right.
Kids partying in the South, in Florida, Lake of the Ozarks, all those places the last couple of weeks. You've now got, hundreds of thousands of people in the streets not honoring social distancing, mostly wearing masks, but not social distancing rules. I don't know what the world's going to look like in a month. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't know. But I think all this stuff, the fact that the kids are going to be back at USC and kids are going to be back at Pac-12 schools, I think increases the odds that we're going to see college football. I think it's going to happen.
Funch.
Fast Track.
Today is Anderson Cooper's 53rd birthday. Now, John, you and I grew up with Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather and Peter Jennings. Before that was Walter Cronkite. Who in 2020 is America's most trusted newsman?
Well, if you look at the ratings, it's David Muir at ABC. He's got the highest ratings. Lester Holt was elevated after a scandal. And CBS changes the anchor every 3 months.
Yeah, they really do.
So it might be somebody from one of the cable networks. MSNBC and Fox are pretty polarizing. So if you were to select someone from either network, you would be eliminating half of the country. So, for example, if you said it's Rachel Maddow, half the country won't watch her. If you said it was, I don't even know who the lead is, Sean Hannity, half the country would rebel against that.
But, see, I think they're doing opinion. They're not doing news.
Yeah. I think the answer to your question is David Muir. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, it's exactly who it is. It is David Muir. And, you know, when we get off the air at night, the first thing I wind up doing is putting on David Muir. It's become by far and away the number one rated evening news.
And the strange thing is, I think David Muir, tell me if you agree, I think David Muir could walk across L.A. Live and nobody would bother him.
I don't know. I think people of a certain age would bother him. I don't think young people would. But I think my mom would. I still think the weekly or the weeknight news is what grown-ups watch. I think that anybody from CNN, MSNBC, Fox News Channel, I think they're all opinion makers at this point. I don't think they're news people the way we traditionally saw guys like Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather and Peter Jennings. Yeah, I would say David Muir is probably the guy.
I saw an interesting blurb the other day. This is somewhat related to your question, that CNBC, which is the business arm of the TV networks.
Yes.
Is they have a new chief executive. You know, there's been a lot of turnover at NBC because all those guys got thrown out in the Me Too scandal.
Yeah.
The new head of NBC is thinking about making CNBC a conservative political channel because Fox is running away with all of those ad dollars. In other words,
Fox Business is running away with. Oh, wait a minute. No, because CNBC is a financial channel. You're
correct.
Saying they would stop being a financial channel.
They would abandon financial news and become a competitor to Fox News, who Fox News has the highest ratings and gets the most money in advertising dollars, regardless of where you are in the political spectrum. Those are just statistical facts. Is that a good business move for CNBC to try and siphon off viewers from Fox News? Hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, hard to do, but if it's there, I mean, there are certainly some people that you could hire that it would make sense.
You could get some of those old kind of outcasts from Fox News that are out
former
there.
Former Fox people and put them on the air, and I would imagine generate an audience. I think circling back, though, David Muir is probably the guy. Funch.
Fast track.
All right, Mace, there is a new hotel named Posada Gurupi in Terracina, Brazil.
Okay.
This hotel is a mixed martial arts themed hotel. The MMA suite comes complete with a caged in octagon bed, training dummies, and mannequins that will watch your every move and cheer you on while you're in the room. Here's how the hotel owner describes it. Quote, perfect for couples who love a good costume in the bedroom with an octagon inspired environment. The suite brings the bed as the main place of the couple's fight, a table for a meal, erotic toys, and more. Surprise your partner and live an adventure at the Gurupi Inn. End quote. Will the MMA suite in Brazil be a hit or a miss?
MMA is huge, and huge in Brazil. I got to believe that there's probably an audience for that. You know, would you stay in a hotel room that had a basketball theme? Would you and Lisa stay in a hotel room with a court?
Sure, why not? I think didn't the Maloofs have one at the Rio in Vegas?
The Maloofs did when they.
It's the Palms.
I don't even.
It's the Palms,
right?
Thank you.
I don't even know if they own the Palms anymore. But there was a room, a suite that had a basketball court. I mean, I think it'd be cool to stay in a room. No, I wouldn't. I'm just thinking. Would I stay in a room with baseball stuff? No.
Kind of nerdy.
Just friggin' weird.
All right, so Lindsay, if you checked into the Gurupi Inn in Brazil and they said you can have the MMA suite or you can have a regular suite, are you trying the MMA thing?
I personally would probably go with the regular one, but I could see the market for the MMA one. I mean, Disney has a whole sports-themed resort, right?
Right,
sure.
that's where the NBA players are rumored to be going. Funch, are you in or out on the MMA suite?
I mean, if I was going to Brazil and on vacation in Brazil, I think I might try it. If I had to choose between that and a regular suite.
Yeah, it seems a little weird to me.
It's weird to me. It's weird to me. I mean, if you're that crazy about MMA, I guess that's your jam. But, yeah, there's probably a market for it. There are people renting a hotel room in Charlotte, North Carolina, with a that's structured and made to look exactly like Michael Jordan's dorm room. I mean, people are renting that, so I would imagine an MMA suite probably does have an audience.
Novelty tends to sell, that's
yep.
For sure. Funch?
Fast track.
All right, a Wisconsin man brought a dozen crates of bees to a protest and threatened to release them if the local protest descended into riots. Greg Heft of Janesville brought 12 crates of bees towed on a trailer to a parking lot nearby the protest, which had about 100 people on Saturday. The guy says the riot control bees are in their holding yard waiting for the streets to clear in Janesville. Police learned of Heft's backup plan and asked him to leave the area as they apparently had the event completely under control. John, What do you think of this guy and his so-called riot bees?
I'm not sure they would work. If you're already mad enough to go out and protest, are you going to stop marching because you get attacked by a swarm of bees? What does he think is going to happen? The protests will dissolve and everyone will run away? Do you think it would work?
No, I don't think it would work.
People would be mad that they were getting stung by bees. But,
I mean, probably unlawful,
They're walking through tear gas, man. Come on.
Yeah, I think it's probably unlawful to release a swarm of bees into a crowd of protesters. And the guy went too far. But they did the right thing by sending him out of town. Riot bees. Funch.
Fast track.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back with questions from Lindsay and Funch, and then we'll keep it rolling.
Cool. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Rolling on with Fast Track and Funch. It's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. With the NBA coming back, CBS Sports came out with a rankings today, and the subject was, who are the greatest shooters of all time? They came out with a list of 15. I'm just going to go through the top five to see if you agree or disagree. Now, ranked fifth is Reggie Miller. Fourth is Larry Bird. Third all-time is Ray Allen. Two is Klay Thompson. And the number one shooter of all time, according to CBS Sports, is Steph Curry. So, guys, agree or disagree with this list?
I went to college with Reggie Miller. He was the best shooter I've ever seen until I saw Steph and Klay. Reggie might actually be, what'd you say he was, Funch? Fifth or fourth?
Fifth.
I might move him up to third, but I'm very biased because I went to UCLA when he was there. He had no limit on his range. When the defense would come out to guard him, he would just back up. So eventually they figured out, especially the Pac-12 schools, figured out you had to pick him up just inside half court, kind of how you have to with Steph now. And Reggie would still just shoot 40-footers and make them. He was an unbelievable shooter. Ray Allen didn't quite have that range, have the 40-foot range, but he was automatic. I don't mind that list. And then Klay and Steph are number
Klay
one
and Steph
two,
are one easy. And two, no matter what. Yeah, Klay and so Steph number one and number two.
I don't know if I
weirdly
would...
I think you could make a claim that I think Durant is certainly one of the greatest shooters.
Is
of all
Durant
time.
In the top 15?
He is in the top 15. I think he's eight.
Yeah, he is an unbelievable shooter too.
Yeah, it's tough. I think. What about Dirk?
Dirk is nine.
Oh, yeah, Dirk is there.
Dirk was a great shooter. Are any of the like 3-point sharpshooters from the 80s on there? Like, is Steve Kerr on there someplace?
Yes, he is. Hold up here.
He's
number 10. Number 10.
Yeah, there were a bunch of guys that you would just bring in, and if you left them open at the three. Hey, Funch, here's a weird one. Is J.J. Redick on that list anywhere?
Oh, my God. He's number 11.
Yeah, he's another one. Like, a guy who can't leave
still shooting
at the 3-point line, or else he'll just kill you. Like, Kyle Korver, is he on there?
Number six.
Yeah, he's another one that you just couldn't leave open. But Steph and Klay are, like, the amazing thing is that they play on the same team.
Oh, it's crazy.
They have Steve Nash at number seven. Would you entertain the possibility of moving up to the top five?
Well, he was a 50-40-90 guy.
I think he was the first guy.
I said
no. Larry Bird was.
I said to Kobe once, "Who's the best shooter in the league? Do you think it's you?" Meaning that Kobe was always super confident, and this is before Nash came to the Lakers. He goes, "It's Steve Nash."
Wow.
He said, "You leave him open, he just kills you."
Yep.
And so Kobe had great respect for Nash's ability to shoot, particularly from the outside. But that's an interesting list. Anybody who argues with Steph and Klay being one and two is just in denial, because those two, there's never been shooters like those two.
Oh, I mean, the deepest threes. I mean, it's crazy the shots they're taking now.
And they can do it in high leverage games with everything on the line.
Yeah.
Those two are unbelievable.
All right. Funch, it's to Lindsay.
All right, today, June 3rd, is National Egg Day. Egg Day. The annual national celebration of the egg is believed to have started in 1921 in Washington State, when a new highway that was to be used for the transportation of poultry and eggs was officially opened. The day is preceded by National Egg Month in May, sponsored by the American Egg Board. So how can we celebrate? We can eat more eggs, even though I will not be partaking.
Eggs, you don't eat eggs?
No, I don't eat eggs. I don't eat meat.
Do you eat any dairy at all?
No. No.
No
almond
cheese.
Milk doesn't count as dairy. I will eat cheese. I will eat some cheese from time to time, like on some tacos or something, you know, but I don't get carried away because I get really bad stomach aches. But I wanted to ask you guys, with egg being such an inexpensive source of protein and vitamin D, and to celebrate National Egg Day, what is your favorite way to eat eggs?
Oh, it's easy. I had one this morning, hard-boiled. I've always got hard-boiled eggs in the house. That's my go-to snack. Totally dig it. Today I had them, and I like them with beets. I always have beets and hard-boiled eggs in the house. Yeah, beets and hard-boiled eggs go really well together.
I will only eat, if I'm just eating eggs plain, I will only eat eggs scrambled. Scrambled eggs are excellent. But what, Mace, if you like an egg and an Egg McMuffin, what is that? Well, how is that egg prepared?
That egg is, I would consider that to be scrambled.
Okay, so that's the only type of egg that I eat. Now, do you eat eggs like over easy? That I've been able to do.
What I would call dippy eggs. I like them to be dippy. You know, so you dip the toast in them, sunny side up. I'm a big sunny side up eggs guy. You've got an egg thing, huh?
Well, I just, the idea of eating sunny side up is to me kind of turns
you
my
out.
Stomach. Yeah, but scramble. Isn't that word scramble? I'm this way with tomatoes too. Like if you tell me to bite into a tomato, I probably couldn't do it. But I love spaghetti sauce. I love red sauce.
Do you eat sliced tomatoes? Do you eat tomatoes on your salad?
Never.
Oh, you're weird.
Oh, not only am I
this
weird.
This is just weird. So you will eat spaghetti sauce, but you will not eat tomatoes.
Not only that, I love spaghetti sauce, but I will not. And Lisa, my wife, loves tomatoes. Like she'll get, when you order a salad and it's a plate of tomato, what do they call those? Beefsteak tomatoes or sliced tomatoes?
Yes.
Like Lisa will order those and she knows I won't touch them. I have no idea why. You know, there's some amazing like eating quirks in people. Michael Kay, who does the afternoon show, does the show we do at our sister station in New York.
Apparently better.
Yeah, has never had a condiment. Think about that.
What?
In his entire life.
Never had
life.
A condiment.
Same
that's,
thing.
That's
okay.
Baloney.
All right. No.
Why would he lie?
We had him on once, and he said, he said, I swear to you, I've never had a condiment. Al Michaels.
Yep.
The legendary announcer has never had, nor has any interest in having, a vegetable.
What?
What?
Has
now,
never
that's
eaten
really weird.
A vegetable.
Come on, that's not even healthy. What do you
Swear
eat
you.
If you don't eat vegetables? You just eat.
I don't know. Google
you
it.
You just eat.
That's extremely
protein?
Unhealthy.
Yeah, we had him on. I don't know why the conversation turned that way once, but we were talking to him and he said, I think I had run into him in a restaurant. He loves that Italian restaurant on San Vicente in Brentwood, Mace. What is the name of that
Mateo's.
Place? No. It's a very famous.
San Vicente in Brentwood.
In Brentwood. It's a very famous place where Al's in there all the time. And I ran into
him. Dantana's?
No, the Dantana's is on Santa Monica.
On Santa Monica, right.
Yeah, but anyway, it's not important. It somehow came up, and he said, I don't eat vegetables, and I've never had one, never will. And I went, are you being serious? I swear to you. I've
yeah,
never
no, it says he absolutely has never eaten a vegetable on Google, so it must be true. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez appear to be back in the game as prospective buyers of the New York Mets. The New York Post is reporting that the couple is trying again to take the franchise off Fred and Jeff Wilpon's hands after tapping out 3 weeks ago, and there are signs that they'd be getting a much better deal this time. Among the reasons for that determination, according to the Post, the Wilpons are now willing to sell a piece of Sportsnet New York, the profitable TV network that is helping to keep the ball club afloat. That's a major change in their position, although they still want to hold on to a share of that network. J-Rod, as they're being called, is willing to put up hundreds of millions of dollars of their own money And the two now have access to high wealth bankers at JP Morgan Chase, who in turn can set them up with investors who can provide the rest of the cash. One source estimated a new sale price at below $2 billion. Forbes magazine estimated earlier this year that the franchise is worth $2.4 billion. Rodriguez and Lopez have also been exploring ways to make Citi Field more profitable and develop the areas surrounding the stadium. What do you think of this idea, and would it work? Would they come out of this? Would they make money or lose money if J-Rod bought the Mets?
Well, I mean, in the end, no matter what you pay for a team, it's going to be worth more. I mean, the Mets are worth four times as much as they were a decade ago. So you're going to make money in terms of appreciation no matter what you do. You know, you got to be careful because Derek Jeter has turned into a goat, and I don't mean in a good way, down with the Marlins. I mean, all of a sudden, when you're the guy, Michael Jordan doesn't get that team to the playoffs every year, not viewed as a good owner, you've got to be prepared to sort of take the heat that goes along with being in that situation. Sometimes it's more fun to sing and dance and be a baseball analyst and all that stuff as opposed to being held accountable by an enormous fan base. But I get it, man. I would love to own a baseball team. I don't blame them at all. I think it would probably work.
I think it'd be really fun to own a baseball team.
Yep.
Let's say you and I were able to buy a team.
Yep.
And we can hire away anyone we want. Where we go, like, who's our GM?
Andrew
Anybody
Friedman.
We ask will say yes.
Who? Friedman. Friedman. In a second.
Never won, Friedman. Never won a World Series.
In it every single year. The smartest, most talented baseball executive there is.
I'm going Theo. He's won World Series, and he's about the same age as Andrew.
Yeah,
he's
hard to make a case against
he's
Theo.
He's won World Series. Okay, who's our manager?
Let's see, not Dave Roberts. Definitely not Dave Roberts.
It doesn't really matter anymore, really, right? The manager isn't like the guy who's
well,
making...
especially with Theo or Andrew Friedman. The manager's not so much the guy. You want somebody to execute a plan.
So let's just hire Joe Maddon. At least he'd be fun.
Yeah, Joe Maddon would.
You should hire Terry Francona.
Oh, Terry Francona would be a great manager.
No manager has gotten more out of a subpar, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I say Tito for manager.
All right, so if we could sign any pitcher on the market, and we could sign him away as a free agent, but we only get one crack at it, where are we going?
Any pitcher, period.
Yeah. Strasburg?
Strasburg is
maybe
what,
a little
20,
old.
28, 29?
Gerrit Cole hasn't had a lot of great years.
I'm going to go young and bet upside. I mean, I could make a case for Walker Buehler. Young, ascending, unbelievably talented. How old is Strasburg?
30, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting...
And he's already had Tommy John.
31 years old. Yeah, see, I'm looking younger.
Walker Buehler is an interesting... Which should we consider Ohtani because he could hit, too?
The next question
I'm going to ask you is, what hitter are we taking other than Trout?
I'm not letting
you take Trout. But, so, since Ohtani could pitch and hit, do we consider him?
You could consider him. I mean, I'm not as sold on him as a pitcher as everybody else is, especially coming off surgery.
What hitter are we taking other than Trout?
Dodger homer, but I mean, it's hard to make a case. I guess I'll go Christian Yelich as opposed to Cody Bellinger, but Cody Bellinger's right there.
And do we even consider any of the Astros, or because they're tainted by cheating, do we leave them out?
No, our imaginary team just wants to boo the hell out of the Astros.
I'd take Justin Verlander, just saying.
You would take Verlander?
No. Oh, yeah. Lindsay, he's at the end of his career. He's like 35.
I still want him on my team.
And he's married to Kate Upton, and he probably cheated last year. That guy's ready to check out.
I don't know. I disagree. I think he's had quite a resurgence.
He's 37 years old. If you get to pick any pitcher in the game, you're really going to take a 37-year-old?
I wasn't saying he was my number one pitcher, but you just said asked if you're going to take any Astros, and I said I would take Justin Verlander on my team.
All right,
he wouldn't be my number one, but I
all right, we can have any ballpark. We taking Fenway? We taking Wrigley? We taking the Dodger Stadium? What are we taking?
I mean, again, I am a Dodgers homer, but I think there's something totally cool and classic and mid-century awesome about Dodger Stadium.
Fenway Park is so cool. You've been there, Mace. Have you been to
Oh,
Wrigley?
I love Fenway Park, yeah.
Have you been to Wrigley?
Yeah, I've been to Wrigley.
Wrigley's the same way. I'd probably go one of those two. Those are the two oldest parks in all of baseball.
My dad said the new remodeled Wrigley isn't that great, though. He said it kind of stinks.
What's the first item we're, if we own a baseball team, we're putting in the concession stands?
Dodger dogs.
Yeah, man, you're just going all Dodgers. Nice.
Well, yeah, those go in automatically. I think we got to do something like...
Otherwise, nachos with those that drippy cheddar pretend cheese and the jalapenos on top. That would be my other choice.
I think stocking every concession stand with Don Julio, 1942.
Oh,
just put
wow.
it in there so we can do tequila shots when our team yeah. like blows a 4-run lead. Or like, can you imagine how much Don Julio you would have drank if it was available to you in Game 7 of that Astros series?
Or what about after Kershaw gave up back-to-back home runs to Rendon and Juan Soto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of them. All right, so one day, that's our dream. We could own a team
yep.
one day like J-Rod, like J-Lo and A-Rod. As if J-Lo and A-Rod don't have everything else going for them.
Yeah.
You know, they got that going for them. Wow.
We better do it fast because who knows? All right, Fudge.
Fast track.
So there are now giant toxic toads in Florida. These are gigantic
yes!
yellowish brown cane toads.
Giant which, toxic toads.
Which have invaded Florida after a wetter than normal spring. They can grow as big as 9 inches long with large triangular glands behind the eyes that contain a high load of milky white toxin. They're generally harmless to people, but really bad for dogs. There are literally gangs of these toads on the streets at night. So, think about this. There are now murder hornets across Africa and the Middle East. There are swarms of locusts. John, you've talked about marauding rats across major American cities.
Rat armies.
And then we've got giant poison toads. Rank these 1 to 4 from what you're most afraid of to what you're least afraid of.
All right, what was the first one before the...
Murder hornets, swarms of locusts,
okay.
Gangs of rats, did you call it?
Armies of rats, rat
armies.
Armies
of rats, rat army, rat army, or giant poison toads.
All right, giant poison toads are last because you said they don't really attack people.
Yes.
Murder hornets, I think, are overhyped. So
you think they're getting too... They have a good yeah. press. They got a good
Murder hornets, number three. Giant rat armies. I think you could encounter a rat army like the one in Ratatouille where they'd be friendly
sure,
rats.
Sure, they'd be friendly rats, no.
Like Remy and his brother Emil, which were friendly rats. So to me, the swarm of locusts is the thing you could never control.
You cannot beat a swarm of locusts.
You don't know how big the swarm is.
Yeah, and swarms just keep swarming. I mean,
right.
You can't get rid of them. There's no way to...
Like a murder
run.
Hornet.
They're everywhere.
A murder hornet, there'd be one.
A rat
army, we don't know how many that is. But giant toads, you've seen one toad, you've seen them all.
I think
locusts
you've hit on the...
scare the crap out of
You've hit on the right order. Swarms of locusts is number one. Rat army is number two. Rats are just filth. I hate rats. Number three is murder hornets because murder is in their name. And then number four is giant poison toads. Again, as you point out, not generally harmless to people. Gross, but harmless to people. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the world right now. Murder hornets, swarms of locusts, rat armies, giant poison toads. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. All right, do we need a break?
No, we can do one more.
Okay,
I got
Funch.
One.
Fast track.
All right, I'm going to turn serious on you. Clemson special teams coordinator Danny Pearman
yeah.
released a statement last night after former Tigers football player Kenyon Tuttle took head coach Dabo Swinney to task earlier in the day on Twitter, contending that the assistant coach, Pearman, called a player the N-word during practice with no repercussions. Pearman then admitted he was that coach. Here's what he said, quote, 3 years ago on the practice field, I made a grave mistake involving DJ Greenlee. I repeated a racial slur I overheard while trying to stop the word from being used on the practice field. What I overheard, I had no right to repeat. While he did not direct the term at any player, I know there's no excuse for me using the language in any circumstance. I should have never repeated the phrase. I was wrong when I said it, and it is wrong today. I apologized to DJ at the conclusion of practice, who then appropriately raised his concern to Coach Swinney. Coach and I met to discuss the incident. He reiterated that my language was unacceptable. I later apologized again, as well as expressed my sincere regret to our position group the following day. End quote. Here's my question, Mace. Is Pearman's apology enough, or should he be suspended or fired by Clemson?
Well, first of all, shame on Dabo Swinney for letting this go when it happened, with no apparent discipline. I think it's time that we've got to start holding some people accountable for stuff that they said. If you're willing to say that, what are you willing to think? What's actually in your head? You're a head coach or you're an assistant coach on a team with a lot of African-American players, and that word leaves your lips. That's not an accident. Can you fire Pearman now?
3 years after the fact?
3 years after the fact?
What complicates this, too, is that Pearman and Swinney have been friends for a long time. Pearman was a position coach at Alabama when Swinney played there. That's how long he's known him.
Okay, so here's the question. If it happened today, would you fire Pearman?
I think so.
Okay. Why didn't Dabo Swinney fire him on the spot?
Because there's less tolerance now, especially this week, than there was 3 years ago.
There should have never been tolerance for the N-word
in
that program.
But here's what's interesting about the N-word, and I understand this completely, but I think other people have an issue or don't comprehend this concept. Black people get to use it. If you're not black, don't use it. That's the rule. That's it. Like, as I hear people come back, well, Jay-Z says it in all his songs, or Kanye puts it in his songs, or blah, blah, blah. You know what? That race owns that word. To any other race, it's incredibly derogatory and dehumanizing. So you don't get to use the word, and you can't use as an excuse, wait, black entertainers use it, so why can't I use it? Because it never works out. You can't use it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of words, John, in my world that I can use that you can't.
Right.
And some of those terms we have been culturally appropriated by LGBT community.
Totally agree.
Yeah, so, I think had it happened today, I would fire him. Dabo Swinney needs to take a long look in the mirror because he didn't take action at the moment he became aware of it. And you know what? I think I do fire him.
Oh, I wonder if he survives it now.
Like, who's that?
Pearman, does this story just go away? Or does Swinney have to take some sort of action now, considering the current climate?
I think Swinney, for himself, needs to take some action now. It's in the end, Pearman said it, but Swinney's accountable for what was said because he excused it. He allowed it. He took no discipline when it actually took place. So, I think this reflects really, really badly on Dabo Swinney. And yes, I would fire Pearman.
I saw a couple of tweets from black sports writers who said, along the lines of, if you're a college recruit, listen to what Dabo Swinney has to say, then go play for someone else. So other schools are going to use this against him in recruiting.
Absolutely.
Because that's the way that recruiting game works.
Yep. All right, coming up next for you, Name That Tune by Tidal. It is John versus Lindsay when we come back. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And we are keeping track of an enormous march from City Hall in downtown Los Angeles. Thousands and thousands of people among the marches going on right now for social justice in the wake of the tragic killing of George Floyd last week. We're giving you some respite from that, little vacation from that news, and we're doing some fast track funch.
Fast track.
All right, so this is Lindsay versus John, and you need the name of the song. The title of the song is what you need.
Got it.
All right, so Lindsay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Name is your buzzer. Yep, I'm ready. Here is song number one.
Lindsay.
I think Lindsay got there first.
That was me. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes. Lindsay's up 1-0. Number two.
Lindsay. Halo.
Halo is the correct title, yes. And Lindsay jumps to a quick 2-0 lead. Ireland, you awake?
Yes.
Okay. Here is song number three.
Lindsay.
Lindsay got there first.
Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven. It's 3-0. John.
Never been shut out, Lindsay. Today could be your day.
Not
you always say
moment.
That, and then you get one, so.
I think you might have a good chance today.
3-0, Lindsay. Here is song number four.
Lindsay.
Poker Face. Poker Face is correct. She's up 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
John, are you going to pull the sweep?
Well, no, she's going for the sweep.
No, I'm saying you're getting swept.
Yeah, I'm getting a Curtis.
You're getting Curtis. Never happened before.
True.
Here is song number five.
Lindsay. Sweet Child of Mine.
Sweet Child of Mine is right. John, did you just throw in the towel on that?
No.
Yeah, are you listening?
No, Lindsay just beat me like a drum.
No, you threw in the towel.
Oh, I did. Why? Because she got them all right?
Yes.
No, why didn't she get them all right?
I didn't think you gave it a good go.
I was just beat by a better player.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Wow.
Funch.
Thanks.
All right, you guys. I'll end with the game as well. It now appears that the NBA might restart next month. So let's see how much you guys remember from the season that was interrupted.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here we go. I think there are seven of these. All right. LeBron and Anthony Davis were the top two scorers for the Lakers. Who was third? Was it A, KCP?
Oh.
No, I'm giving you choices.
Okay.
A, KCP, B, Kuzma, or C, Danny Green? Lindsay, KCP, Kuzma, or Green?
I'm going to go with Kuzma.
All right, fine.
I'll say Danny Green.
Mace?
Really? I'm going to say Kuzma.
It is Kuzma. Lindsay and Mason are on the board. Which team had a better record so far this year? Funch, was it A, Utah, B, Miami, or C, Denver? Utah, Miami, or Denver?
Denver.
Okay, Mace.
I'm with Funch, Denver.
Lindsay?
I also agree it's Denver.
It is Denver. Denver was 43-22. Both Utah and Miami had 41 wins, two wins shorter. All right, two each for Lindsay and Mason. Okay, James Harden was the NBA's leading scorer when the season stopped.
Okay.
Who was second? Mace, was it Giannis, Bradley Beal, or Trae Young? Giannis, Bradley Beal, or Trae Young?
I'm going to say, I'll say it was Giannis.
Lindsay.
I also think it was Giannis.
Funch.
Trae Young.
All three of you incorrect. It's Bradley Beal. 30
Bradley
points
Beal.
A game.
Never
yeah, he's second
that.
In the league in scoring. All right. Lindsay and Mason hanging on to a 1-point lead. All right. Anthony Davis is currently tied for second in the NBA in blocks per game. Who is first? Is it A, Hassan Whiteside, B, Brooke Lopez, or C, Kristaps Porzingis? Lindsay, blocks per game, Whiteside, Lopez, or Porzingis?
I'm going to guess Porzingis.
All right, Funch.
Whiteside.
Yeah, Whiteside.
Mason and Funch get the point. Hassan Whiteside leader, Lopez and AD are tied, and Porzingis is fourth.
He was on my fantasy team till it all got derailed.
LeBron James leads the league in assist. Who's second? Is it A, Ricky Rubio, B, Luka Doncic, or C, Trae Young? Funch, Rubio, Doncic, or Young?
Ricky Rubio.
Rubio, says Funch. Mace.
I'll say Luka.
Luka, says Mace. Lindsay.
I think it's Luka.
Again, all three of you incorrect.
Oh,
it's Trae Young.
Trae Young
is second in assists right now. Okay, so it remains Mason 3, Lindsay 2, Funch is 2. Who leads the league in steals right now? Is it A, Ben Simmons, B, Kawhi Leonard, or C, Chris Dunn?
Total steals.
Steals per game.
Steals
ben
per game.
Ben Simmons,
okay.
Kawhi Leonard, or Chris Dunn? Mace.
Since it's per game, I'm going to say it's Kawhi.
Okay. Lindsay.
What were the other two choices?
Ben Simmons, Kawhi Leonard, or Chris Dunn?
I'm going to guess Ben Simmons.
All right, fine.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is the correct answer, and the game is now tied at three with one question left.
This is for everything.
Doesn't get any more competitive for this, and this is worth 1 point.
Yeah, 1 point.
Because you guys are all tied. What team leads the league in points per game? Is it A, Houston, B, Milwaukee, or C, the Lakers? Mace, Houston, Milwaukee, or the Lakers? Points per game.
Points per game. I'm going to say it's Houston.
Okay. Funch.
Milwaukee.
Lindsay.
I also think it's Milwaukee.
It is Milwaukee, and so it's a dual winner between Lindsay and Funches. And Mace, you blew a huge lead, and you're so this fast track ended today by me being shut out and you blowing a huge lead.
Yes,
probably appropriate.
Very appropriate today of all days for us to lose, losers.
All right, coming up next is, speaking of losers, Sliwa. You know, we always...
That's so mean.
No, we always... you're right. It is mean.
It is mean.
We always mock Sliwa and make fun of him. I think we are going to let Sliwa carry the load today. For the first time, we'll let Sliwa talk about what he wants to talk about. All right?
Let's see what kind of...
next.
Let's see what his game plan is. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And it's time, people. Sun going down across Los Angeles. In rolls Alan Sliwa. And we made a decision.
Turn the heater on.
Yeah, that's what we need right now is the heater. We made a decision after John called you a loser.
Yeah, Alan, I feel bad because I lost in a game to Lindsay. I got shut out and named that tune. And then Mason blew a big lead in a Laker trivia game. And Mason said, so, John, you and I are both losers today. And I said, speaking of losers, Sliwa coming up next. So I lumped you in with us, which I really shouldn't have done. And as a... As a show of good faith, of goodwill, we at Mason and I have decided to hand you the con. Normally, we berate you and beat you up in this segment and give you a hard time. But today, we will let you decide where we go next. The stage is yours, Alan. Take it away.
Let me ask you guys.
John, how do you feel right now? How do you feel? Just about yourself. How do you feel?
I feel like a loser. I lost a game to Lindsay, and then Mason lost, so we feel like losers.
But clumping me in, just how do you feel about that?
Well, you belong in that group.
Why is that?
To make amends by giving you the
platform. Yeah, making amends. Making amends.
I'm trying to, like Drew Brees at some point, Alan, is going to have to make amends. He has stepped in it. Vic Fangio today was forced to apologize.
I think that
it sets a good example.
Your apology is for something far less egregious.
Yeah,
but
if I apologize to you, say I'm sorry for calling you a loser, and let you have the forum, the platform at 6 o'clock in Los Angeles, which is technically still the Mason and Ireland show. Alan, what would you like to discuss?
Well, thank you for doing that under those circumstances. I greatly appreciate it. It means a lot to me, John. Let's do what we always do when we get in. It's definitely time to guess how many guests I have.
Look at Sliwa showing a sense of humor. Okay, good. I like this.
How many guests I have. And then also, by the way, it's how many total guests.
Yep.
How many in the can.
Yep.
How many are basketball related.
Yep.
And how many...
from the Athletic.
Oh, Athletic, and how many you guys will actually know the name?
Oh, right. So how many questions?
Now, there's five total.
So do you want us to rattle off all five answers all at once?
No, let's go one at a time.
Okay.
One at a time. Yeah. So let's start with this. How many interviews total tonight?
Three last night. I think it's two tonight. I'm going to go two.
I was going to say two, but I will so I'll be different than Mason. I'll say you are, for the second consecutive night, you have three guests.
Okay. Lindsay?
I'm going to go two.
Three guests tonight.
Three guests?
Three guests tonight. Yeah, three guests.
Wow. Complete three total. Mail job.
Three.
Just give me the stamps. I'm mailing this sucker in.
I'm sure all three of these guests will be compelling, Alan. I disagree with Mason.
Mace, how would you do it? Just out of curiosity. Let's say you had your own show from 6:30 to 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're solo. And you're solo.
Yes.
How would you do it? How would you kind of structure the show?
Well, Alan, I guess I would would break the world record for ums.
Mm-hmm.
And, Alan, I would solve your problem with three words.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Open Line Wednesday.
Open Line Wednesday. Open Phones America.
Is that what you would do, Mace? You would just take a lot of calls, ton of calls?
I'd interact with the people a lot, Alan. I think mm-hmm. you've got a unique opportunity to interact with people in a way that John and I, we interact together, right? So we create some energy that way. You react with guests. You react with – I don't think I'd have so many guests. I mean, to me, having three guests, does that leave any time for – is there any Alan time in there? Like with three guests, is there any time? Yeah.
Well, look, the first half hour, I'm just, you know, ranting about what's going on and my opinion on it.
Nice.
And then an interview.
Yep.
And then typically, you know, either my reaction to that or just setting up another topic, which will eventually flow into another.
So you rant. You actually rant.
Well, I have my thoughts.
That does not seem like you. The word rant. Maybe strongly propose.
How do you describe rant? How would you? What
like
comes
what
to mind?
Like what Stephen A. Smith does. He rants.
So
he
definitely
goes on a rant.
I definitely don't raise my voice and express myself like
you're
Stephen
much
A.
more low key about things.
Much more low key. Much
okay.
more low key.
Got it.
Okay.
So rant on the Sliwa scale.
On the Sliwa scale, so Stephen A. is the barometer. He's 10.
Yep.
Four.
Minus three. Oh.
What's your level?
Mine?
What's your level, basically?
Depends on the day, man. Depends on the day. Today I was a good seven. But you try to work up a good rant. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. How many in the can tonight?
How many in the can?
Three interviews total.
Two in the can. Two in the can.
Going,
two in the
I'm
can.
I'm going one.
Lindsay?
I'm going to go two are in the can.
One in the can.
One in the can.
Tonight.
Wow.
One in the can.
Two live guests. Living, breathing guests.
Here we go. Here we go.
That's fantastic.
All right. Let's see another one.
Yeah.
How many basketball related?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is two. For sure, this is two.
I'm going three.
Oof.
I think that the big basketball news broke today. All three are basketball related.
Lindsay?
I'm going to go two.
Guys, I don't have one basketball-related interview tonight.
What?
Why not?
With all the big breaking basketball news, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm just going to be talking about it. I'll talk about it, and then there's some other good topics that are around right now that I needed
like,
some other
what?
So,
for.
Wow. Wow. So where are you going with this thing?
Okay, wait. Before we get there.
This seems to be swerving out of control. Okay, go ahead.
How many from The Athletic?
Ah, that's one. You definitely have one from The Athletic tonight.
What do you think,
John?
Very
certain.
You seem to be taunting us with that question. I think it's zero.
I love the way you read into it, Lindsay.
I was going to say the exact same thing that John said and say.
By the way, so far I've gotten every one of these on the exact number, and I'm going.
Come on,
zero.
Show me one. Show me one. Show me one.
Lindsay, what'd
I
you
agree.
Say?
I'm going to say zero.
Ireland's still undefeated right now. Okay, last one. How many of the guests will you guys actually know?
I'm going to go two. Two of the three will know.
Yeah, if you're not having any basketball guests,
chances are maybe
it's going to be one we don't know. I will also, to keep my perfect record intact, go two. There's one of these people I don't know, I think.
Lindsay?
Is tonight the night you booked Ed Schmuelhardt from the New York Daily News?
He wasn't available.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wasn't
I'm
going to
go three. We know all three.
know all three.
So okay. Zero would be your answer, Lindsay. How many
do we not know?
How many do you not know? Correct.
Okay, so I don't know if you know. So maybe that's not a good start.
I don't know if
maybe
you
that's
know.
Not a good
You're
start.
Off to a terrible okay? start.
Yep. Okay. Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times.
Of course we know Dylan.
Okay. All right. Dylan Hernandez. So there's your one.
Good. I like that.
Neil Payne from 538 Sports. Do you know him or no?
Never heard of him. That's my one. I just need to know who this third guy is. And I mean,
Neil Payne. Who is Neil Payne?
If I know this third guy, I run the table.
I'm going to Google Neil Payne.
His article is on Kaepernick. Okay, and then the third one, Bao Nguyen. Do you know who that is?
I absolutely do. I just interviewed Bao Nguyen. He's the director of Be Water.
On Mason and Ireland?
No, I interviewed him on my podcast.
Oh, on
yeah,
the podcast?
He's great. Okay. He's fantastic. Yeah, you'll
so
love
Bao
it. So I have heard of Bao Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I haven't, which
did you watch the documentary yet, Alan?
This Sunday.
No, but they didn't send it to you in advance? I've already seen it.
No, I have not seen it.
Of course he's not got an advanced copy.
I don't have connections like that.
You don't have that. Yeah, no, they sent it to me because before I talked about when the director. Yeah, no, it's a great documentary.
By the way, is it as you expected, or do you walk away like, damn, I didn't know any of this about Bruce Lee?
There was an awful lot that I had no idea about. Like, I had no idea that, for example, he was a child star in Hong Kong. Had never heard of that, made full-length feature films, one called The Orphan that I looked at online. Had no idea. Had no idea. You know what? This is something I should have known. He did not live to see the premiere of Enter the Dragon. He died 12 days before the big premiere of Enter the Dragon at the Chinese theater. For my money, that movie is the greatest action movie of all time, is Enter the Dragon, 1973.
You guys, John, remember we had that conversation maybe 2 weeks ago, right after Last Dance ended, and we were looking at the Sosa McGuire documentary, Lance Armstrong, and then this one.
Yeah.
This one I feel will get... Well, no, I think the Sosa and McGuire will get a lot of publicity too. But this looks like just it's going to be a good documentary. Obviously, you already seen it, Mace, but
yep.
It seems like one of those that will be deep. You know, it'll be great to see and learn about somebody that unfortunately passed away at his peak at just 32.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing you should ask him about is we talked about this about his feeling. About the way Bruce Lee was portrayed in Once Upon a Time in America. Do you remember that scene with him?
Once Upon a Time
no.
in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
thing.
Right.
Once Upon
it
a
depicted
Time in Hollywood.
Him. A lot of people took criticism to that, even
in
Green
sort
did,
of this,
I think.
In this sort of clownish way. They did not really, it was not a good tribute to Bruce Lee at all. But that's something you can bring up with him. Really good. Well, I'll listen for that.
Well, the reason why I can't do that, why can't I do that?
It's in the can.
It's in the can.
This one's in the can. This one is in the can.
That's the one. That's
the one.
One in the can.
That's the one.
Did you ask him about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, I more just kind of the history, why this was so interesting to him, what he learned from before he started doing his research on the documentary 5 years ago, how he got it to be a 30 for 30 is more along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that of his generation, I think he's the... That's the greatest action movie of all time. I went back and watched it before I did this interview. It's unbelievable. And you know who I think the second best action star of all time is Keanu Reeves, who just keeps cranking out these movies from The Matrix to John Wick.
Couldn't
Those
I
are
argue,
unbelievable movies.
Couldn't I argue that Tom Cruise is a much bigger action star than Keanu Reeves?
You know what? Pure action, if you just want to look at Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah. Although with Keanu, you get all the Matrixes and all the John Wicks.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a new Matrix and a new John Wick coming out on the same day in 2021, next year sometime, on the same day. Now, I think Keanu Reeves is unbelievable and really underrated because, tell you what, that guy from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure to... still having two gigantic franchises out there is amazing. But strongly recommend Be Water. If you love Bruce Lee, you love martial arts, you just love American history, it is a great documentary.
I think Mage 2 is going to be a lot of folks who maybe that's, I mean, I don't have this, you know, incredible knowledge on mixed martial arts or this incredible knowledge on Bruce Lee's. I just know what kind of has been in front of us. So I'm looking forward to it because there's going to be a lot that I don't know. And I think someone like Bruce Lee that was more than just, okay, it was just an actor. He doesn't have an interesting story. He didn't have struggles. I mean, he has many struggles. I mean, one of the things that, you know, was talked about in our interview, obviously, like I mentioned, Bao Nguyen, civil rights leader, too, in his own way, because most even in China, I mean, Hong Kong, where he grew up, most didn't kind of associate with him because he wasn't technically Chinese. Right. So anyways, yeah. it's a very, very it sounds like it's going to be very good. And there's certainly a lot to learn.
How's the interview? Good.
Yeah. Now,
what time is the pre-recorded interview going to air?
He's at 8:30. He's at 8:30.
I wanted to make sure so I can get onto my.
How long do you have him on your podcast?
We did about a half hour. You know, it's interesting about him. He directed, John, you'll remember this. Remember when they did the 40th anniversary for Saturday Night Live?
Yep.
There was a primetime movie that came on right before that special. It was directed by Bao Nguyen. That was his very first movie, was the SNL movie, which is incredible. If you've never seen that movie, you want to go inside exactly how it was made, how it began, the genesis of Saturday Night Live. It's a great, great movie, and that was Bao Nguyen's first documentary. This is his second feature documentary. It opened at Sundance this year, and ESPN picked it up. Nothing.
John, how are you doing?
Can't
over
get
there,
anything
John?
From you there,
John.
Slee, what? How am I doing? I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May set you up with a question. You just.
No. I didn't know. I didn't know if he was asking me or you. I've seen that Saturday Night movie. It's excellent. But I'm kind of a student of Saturday Night Live. I've seen everything that's ever been done on SNL. So, but what's interesting is I wonder why he did that. Like, why did they pick him?
Yeah, it's a fair question.
Does he
Alan,
have a
maybe you want
to that show?
Maybe you want to ask him during your interview. Oh, no, that's pre-recorded.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
I have no idea. It was his first documentary. His very first feature-length documentary. And he's a young guy too. Vietnamese American guy. Well, cool. I'm excited about that. I will listen at 8:30 for that pre-recorded interview.
Slee, well, what else you got for us on the other side, as they say?
Did I technically carry this first one?
No.
No,
well, I think okay. I did.
I got.
Well, we want you to carry the next one.
I have something that I have to read.
Okay. Good.
That's exciting.
And then what's coming up? Tell me something.
Did you do your limerick?
Oh, I have not done it yet. Would you like me to do it? It's not really in the spirit of being nice to you, but I'll do it if you want.
That's
if
okay.
If you want to do it. It's not necessarily mean coming from me.
It's just teasing.
Yeah.
No, okay, so you have your limerick. Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think I'll like it or no?
I do.
I have a feeling I'm not going to like it.
No, I think you'll like it, and you'll agree that it's fair. It's fair and honest.
Interesting. Okay.
So we'll do that then when we come back.
Okay, good. We got that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. This comes from Eddie on Twitter. Guys, I was listening to 710 yesterday at 7 p.m. and thought Stephen A. Smith was back on. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be Sliwa in the middle of a rant. I'm surprised 710 has allowed someone as extreme as Sliwa to stay on the air.
Well, didn't the promo say SAS? Said SAS, so basically it's Stephen A. Smith, basically.
Yeah, sure, SAS, Sleewood Sunset, Stephen A. Smith. Very similar. So you got something to read?
Ireland, you want me to do the read first?
I would do the read first. The read's
right,
what matters, Alan. They pay the bills.
Crosstalk on 710 ESPN, sponsored by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great special going on right now. Their Cross-Trade Service for our 710 ESPN listeners, a $99 drain cleaning.
And by the way, they're open no matter what's happening with the protests and with the pandemic, and they're powering through. So good for them and all the people at PowerPro. All right. So, Sliwa, again, I would appeal to your sense of fairness. This isn't the most complimentary lyric or limerick.
Yeah, what a shock.
But I believe it is truthful and that it will give you a chuckle. Okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
A chuckle.
We've now gone to the chuckle.
Lindsay, do you think I'll get a chuckle out of this or no? What do you think?
I haven't heard it yet, so this is a surprise to me too.
But Lindsay, just you kind of knowing. Do you think a chuckle's coming at us?
No, no chuckles.
May leave a mark, Sliwa.
I disagree. This is passive compared to my past limericks. Okay.
Okay.
So here it is. Sliwa's here. We're in luck. When he growls, he sounds like a duck. When he makes up a game, they're often the same. And Lindsay says they all suck. Yeah.
That's not bad. See? That's not bad at all.
Got a little more than a chuckle.
That was not limerick formula, though.
Yeah, it was. First line, second line, third line, fourth line. Yeah.
Is that what you did?
We're in luck. When he growls, he sounds like a duck. When he makes up a game, they're often the same. And Lindsay says that they suck.
Well, that's true. Lindsay does say that.
So, yeah, Lindsay's not a fan of them.
So,
I think I have a limerick too.
No, really?
I think I put one together.
Wow. Oh,
be anxious to hear it.
Yeah, this.
I hope this is a friendly limerick.
I don't know. You know, last time I was in this position, I didn't know whether I should do it
or
not.
You took cheap shots at me and said that I should be fired and replaced by Spiro?
You just said five mean sentences in a row.
Yeah. That was
and I don't.
That
I
limerick.
Definitely didn't do it right. I definitely didn't do it right. So I don't even know if I did it right on this one. But I'll give you what I have. Okay?
Okay.
Have you ever listened to Mason in Ireland? They're not taking your calls, so stop dialing. Their games are pretty late. Got moved from noon to three because of Will Kane. They think they're the best, but they're on an island. That's all I got.
First of all of
That's
those sentences are too long.
Yeah, they're
How
too
are they
long?
Too long?
That's not limerick formula.
I literally looked up limerick. Literally looked it up.
Let Mason do the na-na-na-na-na thing again.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
No, wait, wait, wait. It was more of a poem.
It was more of a poem.
It was not a limerick. It was more of a
poem. Okay, here's my question.
I questioned your rhymes. You tried to rhyme Ireland with Ireland. That doesn't really work.
Yeah, it does. That won't work.
What were the other rhymes you did?
Wait, real quick.
Yeah,
Had zero sense of humor towards that. You guys didn't like it at all.
I didn't think it was that funny.
And I also
like if you're
going to
take a shot.
Yeah, it was
pretty
long.
Good.
Like
it wasn't much of a shot.
My lines, Alan, are all like
those are
five
my
or
shots.
Six.
That's the best I can
okay,
do.
But Alan, my lines are all five or six words tops, sometimes four. The one about Will Kane had like 9-10 words in it.
I started with eight words.
Yeah, that's too long.
Hey,
you got to go
Kane's
to the Mason
eight.
Formula. Yours drags out too long.
Then 10 on the
wait,
last
here's
one.
Here's a
10.
Make
that
for you.
10 is 5. You, 5 is
Lindsay.
Like what
Lindsay, I can't
for.
Wait. There's nothing.
Listen,
okay,
Alan, next time you write a limerick, pretend that you're singing it along to Hickory Dickory Dock.
Yeah, that would help you.
And, yes, and that's
like,
how it goes.
Okay, so my last line of the one about you, and Lindsay says that they suck. That's 5 words. Read your last line.
They think they're the best, but they're on an island. It's very long.
Yeah, I mean,
it is too long.
And read the sentence about Will Kane.
Got moved from noon to 3 because of Will Kane.
Yeah, that's like 8-9 words. What are you doing?
This is the best. Just can't win.
It's more about the syllables than so much the words.
I should before Lindsay.
Ellen,
I should send everything to you for approval.
If you do a poetry show, I will come in Silver Lake or where in Chinatown, wherever you live.
By the way,
nothing
sells tickets like an Alan Sliwa poetry show.
Oh, yeah. That would do extremely well.
Yeah. So Alan, we're getting close. Tomorrow's the big day. We get the unveiling of the way the NBA is going to play out the rest of the season. What are you thinking?
Well, it's nice to have this as part of the conversation. I mean, I know, you know, it's tough right now because of all the political issues that are going on. But, you know, Mace, it feels, okay, we got some positive news from the world of sports at least. And hopefully put some pressure on baseball as well. And I'm sure there are a lot of Laker fans here in L.A. that are excited just to know that, okay, we're going to have a chance to see the Lakers finish out the season. However they end up doing it, you know, we'll get all those details. But I love the way they included some of those teams that they felt still had a chance to get into the postseason. And I love how they didn't feel the pressure of saying, okay, well, if we're going to have four or five teams come in and have a chance on the West, we got to do it for the East as well. I think it's as best as they possibly can under the circumstances. And it's just exciting to have that opportunity to talk basketball again, I'm sure, for a lot of fans out there to have at least something else to talk about, even though this is a difficult time to be focusing on sports.
Yet. You have three guests coming on the show,
and none
of them
to talk about
are
the NBA.
Talking about NBA,
well,
right?
Do you know why?
Why?
I just have a lot to say. I have a lot to say on it. So I'll get it off my chest. Tomorrow will become, you know, some kind of official, and then I'll definitely pile in and get some NBA guests as well.
Hey, Alan, I worked up a little limerick to help you with your format for the next time.
And how did you do that? You just did that right now?
Did that on the spot. Okay, you ready?
The limerick?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
There once was a man named Sliwa. When I hear him, I always say, see ya. If you listen a lot, your head will just rot, and I definitely won't want to be ya.
Pretty good. A true limerick. It was short. It had four or five words.
That's how you know. The judges are skewed. All of a sudden, Ireland thinks it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. Lindsay is laughing outside the speaker.
And I won't want to be ya. I rhyme be ya and Sliwa. That's what I'm talking about.
Everyone went crazy. What are you going to do? You can't win. It's a road.
We can't.
It's a road game every time. It's all good.
It is. It's always a road game. By the way, have you seen those rules that they're talking about? The idea that the home team in a playoff series would get the after the opening tip, they would get the ball to start the second, third, and fourth. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't know, Mace. I don't care for it. I mean, I understand. You know, if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, yes, this is completely different. You're supposed to have Staples Center. And if you were going to go up against the Clippers, you'd get technically seven home games. The Bucks playing in Milwaukee is a huge advantage for the Bucks. But is this going to change anything? I don't think it's necessary personally. I mean, it's unfortunate that home court advantage won't be home court advantage and fans don't get to go to games. But it is what it is to kind of. I've used this term a couple times on my show. I don't want gimmicky. I hope it doesn't get too gimmicky. I'm not crazy about it. Do you guys like it?
Not only do we like it, Alan, here's a few twists on it. All right. So the team with the better record, all right, let's say they start with seven players and the other team starts with five.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can play. We put like two extra guys out there to protect the rim. What do you think of that idea?
You might get a lot of people following you. You might get a lot of people that like that.
That's a great idea.
What happens if we play Milwaukee? If we play Milwaukee, then what?
Well, then they would get the seven and we would get the five because they have
right.
a better record than us.
We would be shorthanded.
It's like being
on a power play.
Tweet that out.
Exactly.
I think that could get some run.
I'm being very careful what I tweet these days.
Yes.
If you know what I mean. I don't think I've sent out a tweet for the past 4 or 5 days, and it's going to stay that way. Tweets tend to get people in trouble, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think the one advantage we have is we can actually, you know, explain our thoughts and everything else. And, you know,
True.
Obviously listeners can do that too when they call. But a tweet is very difficult to get a point across or try to be fair.
you know, the one thing that we're not talking about here is
724 or 624.
Yes. And we hit the door. We're back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Jim Bowden is going to join us. We'll get into the baseball situation. Plus, tomorrow's the day. By the time we get on the air, we should know officially way the NBA season is going to resume and the playoffs are going to take place. So make sure you're back here tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Sliwa is now. He's about to go off on an epic rant. 710 ESPN.